Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and
conditions. 18 plus. Hey guys, Rad Rob here. Want to introduce to you another new sponsor that we have for the Rad Rob Radio Network and Rad Rob Gaming. It's Dubby Energy Powder. Dubby Energy is a clean energy drink that is made to give you focus with no crash, jitters, or angst like other energy drinks. They have no maltodextrin fillers and don't use artificial dyes. Dubby contains vitamins, amino acids, a nootropic, and 150 milligrams caffeine. Their product is made in the USA in an FDA-inspected laboratory that strictly adheres to GMP manufacturing guidelines. Dubby was founded on April 15th, 2021, and has since then created and grown a very awesome community of streamers, content creators, and gamers. Their biggest goal with Dubby was to create a one-of-a-kind community in which they can help all collaborate and help each other grow and be better. Here's some facts. 1. Zero sugar, no maltodextrin filler, no artificial colors or dyes, secret formulas, hidden ingredients, and is gluten-free. 2. All their flavors are unique and custom-made by Dubby. You'll never taste their taste anywhere else. 3. The drink comes down to about $1 per drink or less, much cheaper than Starbucks or canned drinks. And 4, most importantly, it's made right here in America. Dubby has amazing flavors like Dragonade, which is dragon fruit, pink strawberry, and lemonade. They also have Dub Slush, Granny Smith apples, and secret sauce. It's delicious, trust me. How about a Galaxy Grenade, Watermelon, Guava, and a Lime Explosion, or Beach and Peach, a Mango White Peach Cooler. Plenty of different options for you to get more energy and without the crash and without the jitters that you would normally get from other energy drinks. So if you want to check Dubby out, go to dubby.gg. That is D-U-B-B-Y.gg. Use the promo code RADROBRADIO when you check out for 10% off every single order. Again, go to dubby.gg. Use the promo code RADROBRADIO when you check out for 10% off your order. We'd like to thank Dubby Energy for sponsoring us on Rad Rob Radio Network and Rad Rob Gaming.
The following podcast is brought to you exclusively by the Rad Rob Radio Network. Through the years, we all remember when we first witnessed a national tragedy.
This is Dan Rather, CBS News in New York, with a special report about what apparently is an explosion of the Space Shuttle Challenger this morning, a minute and 12 seconds into the launch.
We remember the good times and the bad times through either a song,
who's that?
A TV show,
just a good old boy, never meaning no harm,
a monumental sports achievement.
5 seconds left in the game. Do you believe in miracles? Yes!
Unbelievable.
Or even the smell of a particular food from when we were young.
To all beef patties, special sauce, lettuce, cheese, pickles, onions, and a sesame seed bun.
Welcome to the show that will take you on a journey through time to relive those iconic moments. Welcome to RTW Rewind, where old school rules. So, without any further delay, let's introduce you to the host of the show, Rad Rob Rob Francois.
Hey guys, welcome back to RTW Rewind. This is episode number 449. I'm your host, Rad Rob Rob Francois. Joining me as always is the man with the shiniest mask on this podcast. He has a paper cut. Thoughts and prayers go out. I think he'll be okay. He's the resident doctor of RTW. He is a decent league bowler, if he uses the big red wiffle bat. It is the one and only, the man with no sleeves, Dr. Rocho. Good evening, sir.
Hey, Rob, I got a new microphone. And I don't want to know how it sounds. I can't really hear it.
Sounds great, buddy.
Does it really? I think I have to adjust the modulations on it a little bit.
No, I think it sounds great, too.
Yeah, you're not breathing as heavy as you normally do.
Oh, well, all right. I'm good. Yeah, man, good to be here. And I have a paper cut.
Joining us always is the third man of the team. He is the sexiest man in the world. Also a league bowler, but much, much better than Dr. Rocho. He has a fantastic haircut, but his favorite baseball team sucks because they just got knocked out of the playoffs. Too soon? Is that too soon?
No, I actually forgot about it until this very moment.
You're welcome. Johnny Petraglia Jr., good evening, sir.
That actually reminds me, I got to change the wallpaper on my Facebook page so I can stop getting bashed.
I feel bad for Mike Val, though. I feel bad for him because, like, he counted down for months and months and months, and now just 2-0.
Rob, Mets fans are very desensitized at this point. Like, that's
are they? It seems like he wanted to kill himself.
I'm the one in untrouble because when it's false hope, it's like imagine him with a string of 20 hot dogs like right in front of him and not realizing it's actually on its head and he can't reach him. I mean, that's kind of the disappointment. You're just never going to get it. Chasing the dragon, that's called. But when winners like me, I'm not used to this whole nonsense of losing. So
really, because they just got the Steelers just got trounced.
Exactly. So this is brand new. So I called some Jets fans of mine and said, how did you guys deal with this for so long? I got condolences from Johnny and said, you know, I'm used to this. I'm, you know, been a born football loser my whole life. And, you know, if you need anything, let me know. And that was very brave of him. And that's why he already forgot about the Mets loss.
How are the Giants 4-1? How?
I'm not a Giants fan, so like honestly, they're one of them and the Seahawks are like the same to me. They win games miraculously for extended periods of time. Like I feel like the Seahawks are, I don't know, 120 in the last however many years, and they've never scored more than 19 points in a football game. They're an anomaly like that to me, and the Giants are just like, I don't know, a strange scrappy team that always seems to have two or three well-known or decent enough players that they make some smoke here and there.
And the Jets trounced the Dolphins, too, which is a big game, division game for them. And
that was a fluke. That'll stop soon.
See how they're desensitized? Yeah. I was actually going to say, like, I thought the Jets played great.
When I think they looked good.
When I saw the Jets were up 19-17, I turned the game off. Because I already knew that they would probably end with 19 points and lose by 20. Never in a million years would have thought I'd turn around and they win. 40. Did they win by almost as much as the Steelers lost by?
Isn't it crazy that the Dolphins come back on Baltimore like what 28 unanswered or some shit like that a few weeks ago, and then just
with Tua as the quarterback though? Let's
is Tua really that good?
Better than Skyler Malarkey, whatever the frig the guy's name is. Who the hell is it? His name is Skyler, for Christ's sakes.
Yeah,
Skylers don't work.
No, they don't. No.
But then again, two.
A stripper named Skyler does, but not a quarterback.
But the Patriots' third string quarterback beat the fucking, goddamn, who'd they beat?
Detroit,
yeah. Well, it's Detroit.
Shut them out. Yeah. There's an anomaly. They looked good two games and looked like a bag of bung juice the next two games.
Yes.
What are we talking about?
Giants are a strange team because, you know, they've been in a funk for 6-7 years, almost eight, probably eight. Even because Eli was still around when they were starting to, you know, bite the balls, and now I can't tell because they weren't expected to do anything. They weren't that sexy pick that made big changes or anything. But sometimes teams just develop and learn and execute better, and maybe that's what's happening. But again, the Green Bay game was, I thought, going to be their come to earth moment. And it looked like it was, and maybe they made some changes. Who knows? This is
how much does Aaron Rodgers hate his life right now?
Well, he just hates everything for some reason. Like
he lost Devontae Adams. I mean, he's supposed to be one of the greatest quarterbacks ever, arguably.
What are they, 2-2 now?
Yeah, and their defense isn't that
3-2 I Aaron Rodgers is like that guy. It was a country song. I hate my job and I hate my life. And if it weren't for my two kids, I hate my ex-wife. I know I should move on. This is a new microphone. Try to start again. No, anyways, I'll keep singing until you guys remember.
I have no idea what that song is.
He's on the Pat McAfee show every week, and he's always like philosophizing about crazy nonsense. And the dude's out there, and that's why his family don't talk to him anymore, I guess. Things like that.
Makes sense. Whatever. That makes sense. So, yeah, getting back to the retro thing that we're doing here. Good to talk current topics. But we're continuing our discussion from last week about baseball records, and we talked about the steroid scandal. Well, we'd like to talk about one record that will probably never be beaten, and that is the all-time hit record, which is held by Pete Rose since 1985. And I don't know about you, Johnny, because you were... I don't even know if you were born at that point.
Born then, I think.
But Ocho, do you remember exactly where you were when that happened? Were you watching the game?
I wasn't watching it, no, but I was. I knew I was in my living room and saw a highlight later on. And it was at Riverfront, if I'm not mistaken, off of Eric Schau, the pitcher. And Schau had like sat down. Schau or Show? What did he call him? I forget how to pronounce his name. The pitcher who gave up the hit.
I don't know.
Anyway, he sat down on the mound, and when I saw the highlight, I couldn't figure that out, and I didn't know if like that was like what you're supposed to do. Like I was knee deep, I was like balls deep into baseball at this point. I'm 11 years old at this point, so I'm hardcore. I played 4 years already, so I've emulated batting stances and whatnot, and you know, try and throw how they throw, all that noise. And I didn't understand that. That's damnedest thing. That was my true takeaway. Except that the crowd went nuts and he cried and hugged his son.
Yeah, no, he did. I was watching it with my parents because I believe it was a national game. So I do remember him getting that hit. Let's see if you're right about the pitcher. I have the clip of the record-breaking hit.
And here comes the main attraction.
Good input, JP.
And they're on their feet.
So far, this is all new to me.
Rose walking toward the plate.
But I'm glad I could help.
The most famous number 14.
Right. Martin Schott, the Nazi herself.
And trying to...
Yes. Who's that?
Right here in the...
That's the owner.
The owner.
He really was a Nazi.
He levels the bat a couple of times. Schau kicks and he fires.
Schau.
Rose swings.
There it is! Get out!
First fucking pitch.
Hit number 4192. A line drive single into left center field. A clean base hit.
You say that may never be broken. I don't see how it could be broken.
It can't be.
Rose.
I don't think it can be.
Encircled by his teammates at first base. Joe, quite an emotional scene here at the ballpark.
Where do I? Maybe I made that up that he was sitting on the mound. I don't know. I thought I remembered.
And Rose now recognizing
a new Corvette.
This outpouring of affection from the standing room only crowd.
That I don't understand. Why do you give rich guys more rich stuff? I mean, I get it.
To the crowd.
Good point.
Oh, shit. I do remember. Holy shit.
On this date, September the 11th.
Schau on the mound.
They have not been...
They're drinking beer on TV.
Iota.
Joe Morgan? Is that Tom Brenneman or something? Site
here at Riverfront Stadium on this September the 11th.
So he breaks Ty Cobb's record.
Well, on my birthday. You guys keep missing that.
That's right. It is JP's birthday.
So what was I doing?
What year were you born?
84.
Turning one.
So you were 1 year old that day.
I was probably having a cake when he hit this homer or this record-breaking hit.
And you didn't remember it.
Has your dad ever met Pete Rose? Because that would just make it all full circle.
I've met Pete Rose. He signs autographs here on the strip.
There you go. See?
I heard he's a super nice guy only because he wound up having to be because he got blackballed so poorly from a lot of like...
He wants to get in.
Operations. Yeah. So he became like an everyman. He did talk radio for years and whatnot. And
people still love him. He did a lot of wrestling appearances. He got tombstoned by Kane at like 3 straight WrestleManias.
How was he, JP? He was a good dude?
He's fine. Yeah, he's down to earth, chill. Spends a lot of time with the ladies, you know.
Well, look, that means he's still alive.
A couple different ones a week. But
God bless him.
As far as the record and...
Oh, well, hold on. Hold on, John. I'm sorry. Hold that thought. You bring up the fact that he was with a lot of women. The first article, when I say Pete Rose scandal on Google. Oh, God damn it. Hold on, sorry. Fucking pop-ups.
So he could have been talking this whole time while you still...
He could have... This premium content is... Fuck me. Philadelphia Inquirer, right, your website sucks. Cocksuckers. Let me try it again.
Good thing you cut me off there.
Yeah, no shit.
This is JP, good.
What was statutory rape allegations?
Oh shit.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know about that. I just know that he goes up to the hotel when he's done signing autographs downstairs very frequently.
Rose admitted.
I don't understand how a guy who can get plenty of ass needs to fuck. Oh, statutory rape. It was just probably a 10-year-old.
It was 1975. I mean, come on, that's a long time ago. He was 34 at the time.
Was it even a law then?
He admitted in court filings he had sex with a woman, but believed she was 16 at the time, which I guess was okay back then. And he was 34 and married with two children. But Rose could not be charged with a crime. So,
We had this conversation months ago about the songs that they used to play in the 70s, where
in the 80s,
she's only 17.
Yeah, yeah.
You know. It's like there's songs about freaking teenagers, and you're talking about doing nasty things with them and hoping their dad don't find out. Cherry pie.
This alleged incident happened in 1975, but it wasn't brought up until 2016. So whoever sat on this for many, 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 many years.
He was 34 years old in 1975?
Yeah, 32. 32 years old.
32. Okay. So that makes him 42 when he breaks the hit record, at least.
Yeah.
I didn't even know that.
But yeah, and he thought she was 16, Ohio's age of consent. But according to Rose, he denied having sex with her at, you know, completely.
Just the fact that you're like, oh, 16, that's okay.
Well, yeah.
There's already a fucking...
Right.
There's a synapse off right there with that.
Correct.
Yeah.
But getting back to the record, he ended up finishing with 4,256 hits at the end of his career with no real challenger in sight. So the current record is 4,256. That's pretty amazing. I mean, that really
Who's
is.
Who's in third?
That's a great point, actually. Let me find out.
Obviously, Cobb is in second. He played, you know, in the 1800s to 1900s, which still they count.
Who is third?
I'm curious if there's any current.
Hank Aaron is third with 3,771. So still behind Ty Cobb by, you know, what, 6,000 to 8,000?
Shit.
Stan Musial is number four with 3,630. So we're talking old fucking people here.
Did you just say he's behind by 6,000?
No, 6,800. I can't do math, but
number five. Stan Musial famously learned how to hit by hitting bottle caps with a broomstick.
Did he really? I didn't know that.
Bottle caps that would dart all over the place, and he'd use a broomstick, and that's how he says he developed his hand-eye coordination, which is pretty badass.
No shit. We'll go through the top 10 here.
Thanks, Dan.
Tris Speaker. I don't know who that is. Derek Jeter is sixth.
That's crazy. A long ways.
That's amazing.
He played 24 seasons, and he's got 4,200. That's a fuck.
That is a fuck for sure.
Even the math is so hard to believe when you got Paul Molitor, like one of the best hitters, pure strokers of all time.
Yep.
Tony Gwynn.
Tony Gwynn, I don't think, had the years. I'd be certain of it.
Oh, you're talking like 20-year vets out there. Got it.
That's the only way to just even... Yeah, so I'm sure Tony Gwynn probably has the all-time highest batting average, I would think.
Paul Molitor is 10th, by the way. 7th is Onis Wagner. 8 is Yaz, one of my favorite players of all time, Carly Yastrzemski. 9 is Albert Pujols, the fucking Terminator. And 10 is Paul Molitor with 33-19.
But these are a fuckload away still. I mean, you're talking...
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
200 hit a year is amazing. Like, yes. There's probably a few guys that do it every year. So they'd have to do that 5 more years just to, just to sniff the freaking jock.
There's a ton of them in the 3,000s. some notables like Willie Mays, Eddie Murray, Cal Ripken Jr., Adrian Beltre, George Brett.
We don't bring up Cal Ripken Jr. on here anymore.
Yeah, sorry.
Stricken from the record, so it shall be written.
Tony Gwynn had 31-41. He's in 20th. A-Rod is behind him. Nope, no joke there. In 21st with 3,115.
Yeah, I bet Tony Gwynn did it in only like 15 seasons, though, or something like absurd. Probably
so, yeah. I mean, he was fantastic. Suzuki, Ichiro Suzuki. I thought he would have more because, I mean, he was on a fucking tear at one point.
Yeah, but he came in the league. He was 27 his rookie year.
That's true.
I think, something like that. It was absurd. Like, he already had like 1,500 hits in the Japanese league.
Yeah. 3,089 hits for Ichiro in 23rd. Let's see. Rod Carew was up there. Ricky Henderson. Wade Boggs had 3,010. Barry Bonds had...
I think he hit a triple for his 3,000th. Or a home run. I'm not sure. I don't remember which.
Palmeiro was 3,020.
That don't count.
Wade Boggs, 3,010. Let's see. Frank Robinson, 2,943. Barry Bonds at 2,935. I'm just looking at pure hitters here. Babe Ruth had 2,873. Brooks Robinson had 2,848. I was a big Brooks fan. Griffey Jr. had 2,781. He's in 53rd. So, I mean, that just shows you injuries. Like a lot of injuries, right?
But these are all world players that couldn't even dent it. I mean, who's the one you? So Babe Ruth, people forget the guy could hit. The guy, I mean, he literally had like a 338 lifetime batting average or something like that.
Yeah.
But what was the competition like? Where, even though there's only eight teams, were they still scrubs and they hadn't developed yet? They were just players that figured they could do it. You know, that's why Ruth hits, you know, 60 home runs in a season, and the next guy was like hitting 12.
Now, I don't know how many years Ted Williams played, but he's 77th, and I can consider him one of the greatest hitters of all time.
He is the splendid splinter. He revolutionized how hitting was when mechanically, where they would talk engaging your hips. Mm-hmm. You know, he was so far ahead of the game. His baseball swing is the modern golf swing.
Right.
There isn't a weight. It's not a weight transfer. It's a hip transition. Awesome article. I know I'm going off the side here. Awesome article from about 1989 or 88. Him, Wade Boggs, and Mattingly are talking hitting. And I'm reading this. And Williams is questioning these guys. He's like, "What do you feel when you step into the pitch?" And Mattingly's like, "I'm transferring my weight. I'm stepping in." Mm-hmm. And Williams is like, "Actually, you're not. You're engaging your hips. You're firing your glutes and your rectus muscles, your abdominal muscles." And he's explaining how you're using more big muscles. He said, if you stepped into it, now you're off balance, but you have perfect balance on the swing. And Mattingly's like, wait a second, you're telling me I don't step into the pitch? And now Mattingly just almost won the Triple Crown the year before. Hit 340, 35 home runs, drove in 145 RBIs, won the MVP, and he's now being told he doesn't know what he's talking about when it comes to hitting. And he was baffled by it. And it was this, it was over dinner, and like they had this, it was a 2-hour conversation where Mattingly finally was like, oh my God, I didn't realize. And Teddy Ballgame's like, no, look, you're doing it right. You just, what you're doing isn't what you think you're doing.
Yeah.
So forget what you think and now start doing it this way. And then Mattingly went on to have four more freaking amazing years before his back gave out. But super freaking crazy good article. I'm getting all fired up now.
I like that. No, I really do like that. Williams played from 1939 until 1960. And I believe he lost a year. He
went to war for 3 years,
I think. Was it 3 years that he went to war? Yeah, so he lost 3 years. So almost a 20-year career.
But literally, his mechanics are the modern golf swing.
Yeah. Lifetime average 344, and obviously the last person to hit 400 when he hit 406. So
what are you talking about? that's almost unheard of these days, hitting 400 in a single season.
I don't know if anybody can.
The closest guy,
I know batting champion this year was 326.
Right.
I
mean, AO was
the coach was the closest.
Yeah. AO was 318, I think. The closest came, I think, was George Brett, who went the farthest. He made it to like mid-September, and he was over 400. I want to say 1980, and he wound up finishing at like 394, 392, something like that. but he got hemorrhoids. He was so freaking stressed out about it. He literally talked about it. He's like, he said, Roger Maris got stressed out about hitting home runs that he lost his hair. I got so stressed out, I developed hemorrhoids. And was never a Preparation H guy either. That's a marketing fucking genius right there.
Yeah.
There was Paul O'Neill in the strike year was hitting over 400 for about half the season. And then I think wound up finishing 363. And then John Olerud 1 year flirted. But look, the law of averages really do come into play, especially with baseball. And it's just, it really is impossible to do. 4 for 10? You're lucky to go 3 for 10. Some of those, you know, were they seeing eye singles, you know, those balls. It's just
too fucking something hard. I always remembered Dad saying growing up. He goes, just think of it this way, John. Whenever you're down about bowling, he goes, the best hitter in the history of baseball fails 6 out of every 10 times they go to the plate.
100%. It's a game of failure.
Yeah, sure is.
It really is. I mean, we celebrate people hitting the ball 31% of the time. If you strike 31% of the time, you're averaging like 120, if that.
170.
Is it, all right, right. I was close. What's crazy about Williams is he was 23 when he batted 406. I mean, that's like, you're not even in your prime at that point.
He didn't fucking do anything. He didn't even know anything yet.
Yeah. And then he followed it up with a triple crown a year later. Like, he was amazing. And you're right, he did take 3 years off. In 1942.
So 36.
43, sorry.
Was it 38 that he hit the triple? He got the triple crown? 1938?
He hit 406 in 41. He won the triple crown in 42. And then he left in 43 for 3 years.
And at this point, baseball was definitely, I don't want to say modernized, but like you had ballparks. You know, it was it wasn't the pastime anymore. It was a national sport.
Right.
Where these guys legit got paid. Yeah, they got paid more than average workers is what it is. But they had, you know, 60,000 seat stadiums, oblong stadiums. They still have to fit wacky ones in where it was, you know, 500 feet to dead center and 240 down the line in some areas. But these were legit athletes, professional athletes. So it wasn't like a mishmash. Like when I'm not disparaging Babe Ruth, clearly, but who knows who the fuck was playing then, or with Wee Willie Keeler, or you know what I mean? Like,
sure.
Let me throw you some of the record, you know, some of the awards that Williams won. We talked about the Triple Crown. He was a 19-time All-Star, a 2-time recipient of the AL MVP award, a 6-time batting champion, 2-time Triple Crown winner. Like I said, lifetime 344 batting average, 521 home runs, a 482 OBP, the highest of all time. His career batting average is the highest of any Major League Baseball player whose career was played primarily in the live ball era.
That's what they call from after, I thought it was after 1950, but that doesn't make sense. It'd probably be after 1940.
I believe so.
Which is maybe that's where we're after the war, because that's where I was going at with my thing about how they were legit athletes at this point. It was recognizable. It wasn't like on paper. It was literally a legit thing established.
Yes. Now, here's what's crazy is when he left in 43 to serve 3 years in the Navy and the Marines in World War II, when he came back in 1946, he won his first AL MVP award and played in the World Series that year. In 47, he won his...
Wait, he won the Triple Crown and didn't win the MVP?
He got his second Triple Crown in 47.
Well, when was the year after? You said he won the Triple Crown in 43?
42.
And didn't win the MVP?
Did not win the MVP. When he came back after not playing for 3 years, he still won the AL MVP, which is fucking stupid, right? Like, he wasn't even playing baseball.
He's also the first guy to ever smell burnt wood when he fouled the ball off straight back, which he asked Mark McGwire about at the All-Star game in 99.
Yes.
He asked Boggs and Mattingly in that article, but not many people seen that article. It's a Sports Illustrated article.
Williams returned to active military duty again in 52 and 53 as a Marine combat aviator in the Korean War. In 57 and 58, when he was 39 and 40, he won the AL batting championship for the fifth and the sixth time, and he retired in 1960. So, I mean, dude hasn't played baseball and comes back and just wins shit. Like, that's how good he was. It's quite remarkable.
I want E.J. Tackett to fucking go to Afghanistan for just 2 years and then come back and win a title. So we have something to be comparable to. And I think he could do it.
He can do it. I have faith in him.
Dad did go to Vietnam during Tet Offensive and then come back and have the most historic year ever.
He beat me to it. He was on TV three consecutive years, right? Not three consecutive weeks.
He won three consecutive
shows. That's what it was.
That's why they're the best of the best.
You know, right.
And obviously, if you want to be successful in anything, just go to war. Getting back to Pete Rose, I do want to talk about the scandal. Obviously, he was accused of...
What scandal?
Betting on baseball.
What?
Yeah, you didn't know about that? That's...
He what?
Yes. Yes, he did. Which is kind of frowned upon, especially when supposedly you bet on your own team. And you're the manager slash player. Was it ever, honestly, and I'm asking you guys because I don't know. Ocho,
can I start?
Go ahead. No, go ahead.
Here's my entire argument.
Go ahead. Yes.
He bet on his own team to win.
I'm all for that. I say there's nothing wrong with that.
If you bet against your team and then you manage them to a loss, keep him out of the Hall of Fame.
Right.
But he bet on his fucking team.
That gives you more ambition to win, right?
I think that says, hey, this guy really wanted to win. This guy was so hardcore. Fucking thing.
And for them to still shit on it with all the other controversies and people that have been lit in and out all after all these years, it's like now they're just doing it just to spite him. It's like we've made our bed. We're just going to sleep in it at this point and fuck this guy. They'll probably make him a member of the Hall of Fame to honor him after he passes away.
Probably.
Which is really actually kind of gross, honestly, because then it just solidifies any doubt that people may have had as to why he's not in it to begin with.
But it's okay to take steroids and allegedly, you know, hit fucking 700 home runs like Barry Bonds, and that's cool, right? I mean, that's...
Well, yeah, and here's the thing about that. Technically, that can be putting people in an unsafe environment. Remember when Ryan Thompson blasted Bryce Flory in the fucking dome?
Of course.
With a line drive, and he stood up, or he just sat up, and like his entire sinus pocket fell out of his nose when he breathed out. Like it was just it looked like the blob came out of his nose, and there was fragments of bone and whatnot. It wasn't just cartilage. He fractured a sinus so bad that it was like cornflakes pouring out of his nose. Let's say a juicer, let's say Mark McGwire does that and lines one up someone's freaking nose. This guy has a good shot of dying. I get it, rarity, but you've put them in an unsafe environment now because musculature wasn't ever intended to do that, right, especially when the game was invented.
Yeah. What's fucked up is this wasn't a new thing. I did research on it. There were other baseball managers that bet on their own teams. Hal Chase, John McGraw, who admitted he won $400 when his team, the New York Giants, won the World Series in 1905. But that was okay. So I think people didn't like Pete because he was very outspoken. He wasn't great with the media. He's kind of a douchebag. And I think
he was there to do a job too, and that's how he always said it. That's the same. Yes. What would he take out? Ray Fosse, the catcher, in an All Star game, because he said, "Look, if I score that run, I make an extra $30,000 that year."
Right.
Why would I not want to score that run?
Right.
There's so many times people transfer jobs for money. So this guy hustled for money. That's what he did. He used his brain and his intellect and his job to make money.
It was known in the 70s that he had a gambling problem, but he was only betting on, you know, horse races, football games. But come 89, somehow it got leaked that he was betting on his own team. I don't know who knew. I don't know who put it out there. But the baseball commissioner, Bart Giamatti, started an inquiry and hired Washington lawyer John Dow to head the investigation. Dowd compiled hundreds of hours of testimony from numerous sources that detailed Rose's history of gambling on baseball while serving as the manager of the Cincinnati Reds, including betting on his own team. Now, Rose proclaimed his innocence for years and years and years until he was eventually persuaded to accept a settlement that included a lifetime ban from the game.
Let me ask you this. If Bart Giamatti doesn't die that very next year and Faye Vincent comes in, does Bart Giamatti ever have a change of heart and let Rose back in, maybe? Or
maybe. And then Faye Vincent was, yeah, he didn't fucking like Rose either.
He was such a, he was like, Bart Giamatti said he's banned, he's going to be banned no matter what. He was a douche. He wasn't good for the game at all. That was that simple. Not that, Bud Selig, I feel like he tried, but then here you go with the steroid scandal. So yes,
right.
There he opened his own fucking can of worms.
2004, after years of repeated denials, Rose published the book, My Prison Without Bars, in which he finally confessed to gambling on the Reds, though he added that he'd always bet on the Reds to win. But because of the lifetime ban, he can't work in MLB ever again. Despite his stellar playing career, he is not eligible for the Hall of Fame. Like Johnny said, it's bullshit. And Ocho agrees. He bet on his own team. If he bets on the other team and throws the games, then fuck yeah, he should not be in the Hall of Fame and he should be banned. But a lifetime ban is fucked up for betting on your own team when other people that have been accused of everything else, like steroids and all that, are celebrated. Which leads me to
the... Are you technically betting on your own team when you accept the managerial job? Because if you...
Kinda, you're getting paid to win, right?
I mean, you get fired if you don't win.
Right. Yeah, absolutely right. So it's pretty hypocritical.
I haven't thought about that, but you're exactly right.
But that brings me to my final point. While some records were able to stand, Rose's record still stands. I mean, banning him from baseball, they could have stripped him of his record, right? I mean, do you think they could have gone that far?
I think that would have been obscene.
Yeah.
I mean, obscene if they went that far, especially because
he was a player and he wasn't betting.
He was a manager, not a player.
Yeah. Right?
I don't even know how they correlate that, really.
Right.
I
mean, but that's like straight up double jeopardy in a standard trial. You can't do that.
That's what I was saying about them doubling down about Faye Vincent. Like, just saying, if that's the case, he's banned. But like the guy, like they put this stigma on it that it was such a bad thing that he did. And it's again, I get it. It's the message. Oh, you shouldn't gamble, and you shouldn't. You know what? Fuck you. You shouldn't fucking do shit that you're doing either. So who are you to tell me I shouldn't fucking do something? I actually don't get it because I don't see the relevance. I don't see how anything was a detriment.
Agreed. Me neither.
What I don't understand is that he got the lifetime ban in a settlement. So what the fuck would have happened if he didn't settle with MLB? Like, what was on the table?
Bart Giamatti would have died, and then he might have had a whole new fucking trial and could have convinced whoever the freaking board was or the trustees that, look, dude, I was gambling my future. I was like, I wanted to be a manager of the Reds, and I was so confident that we'd win on certain days. I only did it when Tom Browning pitched. You know, he was our ace. Like,
right,
you know, like that's, I don't know. Like, what do you say? It's like the punishment fitting the crime, that thing, and that just
doesn't. It doesn't. A lifetime ban.
Old water with me.
I agree.
No, me neither.
That leads me to my last point. Again, who should be in the Hall of Fame and who shouldn't? Clearly, he's probably not ever going to get in unless it's posthumously. What about the all-time home run king, Barry Bonds? Never failed a test, to my knowledge, right? But got caught up in the Balco stuff that we talked about last week. Is not in the Hall of Fame. Roger Clemens, also accused of taking steroids, not in the Hall of Fame. Kurt Schilling, never had any issues other than being a conservative.
Did we talk about him? Does he have the numbers?
We did. I think he was good enough to get in. I think he had.
But how many? You know how they have these benchmarks: the 300 wins, the 3,000 hits. What does he have? 270 wins, something like that, maybe.
Something like that, and don't they need like 2,000 strikeouts? I think it was. Or
that could be it too. No. Right. And that's what he was. Yeah, he had the strike. Yeah, maybe. Yeah, but outspoken about wacky things too. I don't know, man.
So,
and it's supposed to reflect the on-field performance.
Yes,
I get it. These are professionals. Hold yourself to a higher integrity, that kind of shit. But whatever. I mean, like, dude, I don't know. Wilt Chamberlain banged 20,000 women in 10 years, and he's in the Basketball Hall of Fame. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
and never got a venereal disease, but poor Magic.
Maybe we know or don't know.
Yeah. By the way, wasn't Magic supposed to die like 25 years ago?
South Park said it's because he has a shit ton of money.
So, as we know, baseball writers who are in charge of voting for the Hall of Fame are pretty fucking...
Why is that?
They're pretty catty. Why is that? I don't know. That's a long time monocle, you know, monarchy kind of rule, and it should be your colleagues, should be the fans. I mean, it could be a mixture of cut it in thirds, writers, fans, fucking coaches and former players, whatever.
Who knows the game better than players and coaches, really? That's the way I think. Exactly.
Fans, like diehard fans.
Right.
The same thing we deal with in bowling. They, like, you let the players pick the player of the year. And you don't let the fucking USBC front office pick anything.
we know they can't.
Maybe they pick the ESPY.
They might.
Yeah.
There's people that didn't like certain players because of they didn't talk to him and give him a fucking interview after the game. Like Jim Rice out of Boston finally got in on his last year of eligibility. But for years and years and years, the media hated him because
Eddie Murray didn't talk to the media for 20 something years. And I think does he have 500 home runs? He might be one of the few guys, 500 home runs and 3000 hits. One of those things. I think we discussed it.
Yeah.
Didn't talk to the media and was never, ever said was a bad guy. Teammates loved him. He just didn't. Didn't want his words misconstrued, something like that.
Nomar never liked talking to the media either. I mean, there's a lot of players that the writers just did not like. And because they hold a grudge and the same guys can vote for 30, 40 years, they're never going to let a lot of these guys in. So we talked about the whole list several months ago, Ocho, of who should be in and who should not be in. But if you could just off the top of your head, I'll start with Johnny here. One person you think, without a doubt, regardless of whatever happened, is not in the Hall of Fame. Who do you think that should be?
Of the ones you mentioned?
Anybody that you think of that you should be in the Hall of Fame.
Oh, Bonds.
Without a doubt.
And Roger Clemens.
Clemens for me is a hard one because obviously I loved him growing up in the Sox, but I mean, he was fucking dominant for so long. How many Cy Youngs did he win? Like him? Six or whatever? Like
seven.
Seven.
He won seven.
20 strikeouts twice, I believe, in one game. Or not one game, but 20 strikeouts in one game he did twice, I believe.
I think he did it
once on the Sox.
The other was for Toronto, wasn't it?
Yeah. First one was on the Sox, and I want to say 80.
Oh, no, they were both on the Reds, on the Red Sox. One was in that awful year he had. Yeah, one was against, I forget who, and at home, and one was in Detroit in his last year. He had an awful year for the Sox, but he still, I think, old Tiger Stadium. Don't quote me on it, but I got a weird memory. You know that?
I'm pretty sure you're right.
But then he did win his two Cy Youngs for Toronto, and then I think he won two, so did he have seven? What do you have, three for the Sox, two for Toronto, and two for the Yankees? Does that sound right?
Let me look at his stats. Sorry. Roger Clemens' stats.
You got, A-Rod, what's the toss-up with that? Like,
I just think he's a cocksucker, so I don't want him in. I think he should be shunned for the same duration as Pete Rose just because he's an asshole.
And a lot of people agree. That's why a lot of these guys aren't in.
So if they let me vote until I'm dead, he'll never be in.
You know what sucks? I love A-Rod on commentary.
I actually do too.
This guy knows baseball.
Yes.
So freaking well.
Most psychos, like myself, are very, very good with their words. They are very, very good at presenting things from all angles, painting scenarios, and it's one of the reasons why I not only hate myself, but I hate him, because I know it's like not how he is on a regular basis.
But it's also how being that meticulous about every fine-tuned detail, like, because he's never going to go, oh, I messed that up. Like, he literally will know exactly what to say the proper way. And even if it's an ad lib, like when he does like these fielding things, like he'll be like, so what you're thinking about is blah, blah, blah. And he even knows how to lay it up to the person too, like, which is not easy to do.
Right.
He knows how to like set them up to let them take it over. And it's frustrating. Like, how do you have that much fucking talent, really? Like, how fucked up are you?
Yeah,
I'm done. The guy probably can't read the fucking Fox and Sox book. That's the other thing. Like, he might have
Done praising A-Rod. So if you want to continue talking, talk to Rad Rob, but come back to me when you want to hate him again. Are you drinking egg whites?
Well, yeah, of course. Fucking A. What was I incorrect about?
Nothing. He just doesn't like him.
I just don't like him.
Typical baseball writer. That's just it.
Like, you could probably say anything you want about the Democratic Senate candidate Catherine Cortez Masto to Rad Rob, and he's probably still going to hate her. You know what I mean?
That's true. It's fair.
That's kind of how I feel about A-Rod.
That's fair. We can all agree
on hatred. That's all right.
We can all agree on Clemens, though, right? I mean, that's like surefire. Well,
is he seven?
Is he what? Oh, sorry. I was supposed to look that up, wasn't I? Seven-time Cy Young winner. 86, 87, 91, 97, 98, 2001, 2004. He retired in 2007, 2006?
When well, he came back for that half a year, and he sucked.
2007, but, yeah. He's 60 years old right now, which, fuck, I didn't even... That's crazy. I didn't think he was that old. 11-time All-Star. Two-time World Series champion. Sorry.
John, no, my bad.
11-time All-Star, two-time World Series champion with the Yankees, seven-time Cy Young Award winner, the AL MVP in 86, Triple Crown winner in 97 and 98, MLB wins leader four times, the ERA leader seven times, strikeout leader five times, holds the record for 20 strikeouts in a nine-inning game twice, named to the Major League Baseball All-Century team, and he's in the Boston Red Sox Hall of Fame. His number is retired there at Fenway. So, fuck me. The fact that he's not in is... And hold on. Let's get back to the steroids. Hold on real quick. Sorry, Johnny.
Yeah, fuck.
You just won't let him fucking talk.
Because of the missile...
He had a very important role in the movie Kingpin.
He did.
He knocked out freaking Ishmael.
Oh, please. Rob's trying to finish.
You don't mow another guy's lawn.
Goddamn, Oach. Because of the Mitchell report... he claimed to have been using anabolic steroids that were given to him by his former trainer, Brian McNamee. He had to go to trial and speak about it in front of Congress, and supposedly they brought him up on suspicions of perjury. In 2010, a federal grand jury at the U.S. District Court in Washington, D.C. indicted Clemens on six felony counts, including perjury, false statements, which isn't that the same fucking thing, and contempt of Congress. Clemens pleaded not guilty. Proceedings were complicated by
penile,
leading to a mistrial. So they went to a second trial in 2012. He was found not guilty on all six counts of lying to Congress. So never popped a positive test, got acquitted from lying to Congress, and he's still not in.
Almost 10 years and 5 months to the day after Clemens struck out 20 Seattle Mariners at Fenway Park on September 18th, 1996, he took the mound at Tiger Stadium in Detroit for this late season game. He struck out 20 batters. I love this fucking fucked up memory I got.
Human.
It's so good. It is. I thought mine was incredible. Yours is iconic.
Well, but I would have no reason to remember that. Now he's gotta tell me why. I would have no reason to remember that. Like, if I remember Steelers shit, I get why. I would have no reason to remember that Clemens struck out 20 batters against. He was on the Red Sox at this point. I didn't fucking watch the Red Sox.
Yeah,
I saw a SportsCenter highlight one night in 1996, and it's stuck in this fucking pee brain.
Earlier today, you knew the opposing pitcher's name on Pete Rose's record-breaking hit, and then you also mentioned the Cincinnati Reds ace. I think you said the name Tim Rowling.
Tom Browning.
That could be a guy that bowls third in one of the teams in my league, for all I know. Was Tom Browning
broke his arm throwing a pitch at one point.
Why do you know that?
Well, when you see a guy throw a pitch and fall down in pain, that kind of sticks with you.
It's not just the Steelers. You're an encyclopedia. It's cool. It's a nice quality. Not to mention, anytime I ask anything having to do with like physical or health conditions, you have an answer for that too. Diabetic stroke, which we learned about before you came
on. I'm inventing that now. Thanks to Rad Rob.
Thank you for listening to this episode of RTW Rewind. For all the latest news and announcements, please follow us on Twitter at RTW Brand. You can also follow Rad Rob at Rad Rob Gaming. You've been listening to RTW Rewind, exclusively here on the Rad Rob Radio Network.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.